Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. We've been talking about what success is for Christians. Because of the nature of Christian success, it is often hard to recognize. So our motivation should not be derived from how we're doing, our behavior, how we're measuring up. But measuring our success is one way God encourages us. He wants us to know how we're doing, because we are still have a soul that is tied into being productive and doing things and being. So though we may be complete and finished in our spirit, our soul knows that it's not where it needs to be. We just need to know what God's standards for success are. Now, His standards are going to be based on bringing us into dependence on Himself through our soul depending on our spirit, which is already in dependence on God. So this is one of the reasons success is so unique for each one of us, is because the state of our soul is unique for each one of us. We've talked before about how you can be in the midst of a depression, angry, frustrated, disappointed, feeling like a failure, and yet be very successful because you're not trying to deal with the situation out of the strength of your soul, but by depending on the Spirit of God in and through you. That is success for God. That's success for us, depending on Him. But for all of us, what we want to first of all recognize is that the kingdom of God is entered, not built. God's work is complete. Our spiritual walk and spiritual work is complete in Him. So, as far as success in spirit, you are completely 100% successful. And we are all equally completely successful in spirit. So, where is the change? Where is the activity going on? Again, it's in our soul, in the soulical realm, with the physical following after. Our goal is to enter into His rest, that dependent, always turning to Him, having our life from Him, receiving our needs met from Him. Not to become more productive, not to build His kingdom. Remember, it's already built. We just enter it. Or even to make disciples of all nations. Let's stop there for a second. Jesus didn't send out everyone. He only sent out those who had first come to Him, who had been taught by Him, who knew where He was getting His needs met. He had taught them to go to the Father as He had gone to the Father. And he had modeled that, and he had shown that. And even said, Peter, have you been so long with me that you don't even see the Father? When he said, show me the Father. But recognizing success will be a private thing. Centering around a restful dependence. In other words, you'll know it when you're there. This is one of the reasons why it's so important to spend time with him. Unclutter your life. Not deactivate. We're not looking to go off and be monks and isolate ourselves. Because you can, your mind can be just as busy in a monastery with nothing surrounding you, no activity, no projects, no work, no people. Your mind can still be just as out of control. And here, living a busy life, raising kids, full-time job, tons of projects, tons of activity, and you can have that restful dependence. So it's not about the amount that's going on. It's, is it necessary? There's no way to escape the notion that we are learning to rule over time and make time bend to us. We all have 24 hours in a day, and we have priorities for how that time is spent. But as you depend on God, he will show you areas where you can back off. And there's so many parents, especially with young children, who don't have any, shall we say, quality time. Let me just encourage you. Go to God. If all you can give him is 5 minutes between this and that to go out and sit in the car away from everything and just spend that 5 minutes with him, if you're in agreement with him that that's all you can do, he will expand that 5 minutes to what somebody else can give 3 hours to. Again, this is why it is so personal and customized for each one of us, our track to success, how we're doing. So recognizing success will be a private thing, and it will be a restful dependence. Now, very often, it will be so quiet, others may not notice it. But then again, that dependence, that restfulness, that confidence allows the Spirit to flow through you uninterrupted. And he can accomplish so much more without a word said, without any activity, just by those you come in contact with, allowing him to minister through you. So we don't have to be keeping such close tabs on how we're doing. But as we keep focused on him, he will minister through us to those whom he wishes. I love the story of Madame Jean Guyon, who, after many trials and tribulations and writing her little book that got her thrown in the Bastille, she was in her little house, and patients who had been sent home by the physicians of the time to die, for instance, from cancer, were, as a last resort, would go to her. And one such story was a friend who knew of Jean Guyon's viewpoint and the healings that took place, convinced her friend, who had just been turned away by the hospital as too far gone, said, I want you to come and see. And the friend who was sick was convinced there was no hope. But just to placate her friend, she went. And she went in alone to speak to Madame Guyon and came out a changed person. And her friend said, what happened? And her friend's response was, I have to know God. And her friend said, but what about the cancer? She says, oh, yes, well, that's gone, but I have to know God. And that's what we want. That's what our success looks like, is dependence on God. When people are around you, is that, you know, what they sense is your relationship, your special relationship with God? Not that we flaunt it or use it, but that's what she was known for. So we know it's possible. And, oh, by the way, his presence meets our needs, our physical needs, even our financial and any other needs. They're easy for him. Now, it's not to say that it costs us nothing. Dependence will cost you your time. Your soul will have to give up its own control, and you will have to come under the authority of your spirit. Your soul won't be able to do whatever it wants. And this is where we start to look at success from a totally different standpoint. It's not all encouraging and wonderful and going higher. Sometimes it's disappointing and losing friends and being misunderstood. But he is worth it. Only God satisfies. Not just knowing him, but being with him becomes the only thing that quenches our need. Once you taste that, once you experience his presence, he will draw you. So very often, he will give you a small taste and then wait to see how you respond. He knows what we need, and he knows what encouragement we need. Unfortunately, so many Christians aren't taught that there are things they can do to know him, and that's part of our purpose, is to make it plain and clear. These are things you can do to know God. Since he wants to be known, if you have any desire at all to know him, it's a perfect fit. You want to know him, he wants to be known, guess what? God gets his way. He will reveal himself to you, but it will always be on his terms. He knows what's best for you, and those are his terms. He's not going to condone or abide by character that is inconsistent with who you truly are, your true nature. He will put his finger on things that do not suit who you truly are. So there is a price to pay. And that price, again, is the more you know God, the less you will fit in with those who don't. And that's fine. That's the way it will be. This is how we learn to live as spirit beings here on this earth, to love those who are different from us by simply giving what we have received unconditionally. So that restful dependence, it's not to say that the successful Christian walk is passive. Far from it. It's just active in a different way. And again, you're going to have to experience the active restfulness, the active quietness, the breathing in and out of his very being. I love the scripture. It says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." First you experience him, then you understand. Taste and see. I can't explain what chocolate chip ice cream tastes like, but you can have some and find out for yourself. Jesus' walk on earth was the perfect example of what a dependent life looked like. Yet the last thing we would say was that he led a passive life. He had times of quiet, he had times of great activity, but think of how long he learned to be dependent on the Father for a very short time of ministry. His motivation to act, his ability, his power, all came through his depending on his Father. Now you might say, well, he's the Son of God. Well, just go through the scriptures for illustrations of people who did many similar types of things. They weren't the Son of God. They weren't Christians. Remember, a Christian has been born again in spirit. That opportunity was not available till after the crucifixion and the resurrection. I think about when he sent his disciples out two by two, and they were astonished that even the demons responded to him. They would cast them out and they'd go. And when they were kicked out of that town, the disciples turned to Jesus and said, "Do you want us to call fire down and destroy the town?" They had absolute confidence that if they called the fire down, it would come. They had been practicing these things. They had been learning from Jesus. But where was the power coming from? It wasn't that they said, "In the name of Jesus." Even though they had not yet been born again in their spirit, they were still able to be temporarily filled by being in the presence of God through his Son. Think back to Moses. When he went up the mountain, he came back, and his face shone. Being in the presence of God, you receive spirit. Now, for you and I, because we are born again, we not only receive spirit outwardly, we receive inwardly, and we are able to contain it. This is, I think, one of the reasons Jesus said, "You shall do greater things because I go to my Father." So that there was full opportunity. There is now full opportunity to do everything that Jesus did and anything anyone else ever described in the Bible, far more, and then some. And it'll be a whole other show to start talking about why we don't do that. But we see Jesus' learning. He learned from his Father. He depended on his Father. That's what he learned, how to go to his Father. And then all these things, the power, the wisdom, the love, came from Father. And you and I have that exact same opportunity and more. Because God wants it for us. God wants you to know everything that his son Jesus experienced because you are also his son. You are a joint heir with Christ. You are a co-inheritor. Everything that Jesus has inherited, you've inherited. His legacy is yours. But it all comes back to, are you trying to do it yourself? Are you trying to reach that next level? Are you trying to know what your purpose in life is so you can figure out how to get there? Or are you depending on God to have you ready for tomorrow? Again, this dependence must be experienced to be truly understood. And as we cooperate with the Lord, we can be confident that he's working it into us. And this is where our success lies. Are we growing in dependence in our soul? Again, your spirit, 100% successful, check it off. Don't have to go back to that anymore. It's a done deal. You are a son. You are in the kingdom. You are successful. Here's an example that might be helpful. The vine and the branch. All the branch has to do is be still and receive the life coming through the vine. In due season, the fruit starts to grow. It's born, it ripens, and it comes into full fruit effortlessly, receiving life through the branch. It is the vine that produces the fruit. The branch simply receives the life. As the life passes through its being, what was already there is enlivened and creates after its own kind. So you and I, as branches, we needn't be concerned with how or how much is being produced through us by his life flowing through us, unless the Lord specifically brings it to our attention. You can rest assured that as his life flows through you, the fruit that he wants to come from you will come. And do we ever see the vine struggle or the branch struggle? No, they are what they are. And they just do what God created them to do. They receive life and bring forth fruit. Now, for myself, here's an example that the Lord showed me just to remind me that is real to me. On my sliding glass door, I've got a bird feeder that's held on by a couple of suction cups. Now, I put it there because the bird feeder keeps the birds from hitting the glass sliding door glass, as well as feeding them up close and personal. But what makes it work is the suction between the glass and the suction cup. All the suction cup needs to do is nothing. Its purpose is fulfilled without it doing a thing, but being what it was meant to be. It just hangs there. And this was what made this concept real for me. I encourage you to ask the Lord to make restful dependence real for you. Lord, for each one of us, what do we need to encourage ourselves that we are on the right track, that we get this concept, whatever you want to explain to us about how this sometimes opposite concept fits in with this restful dependence, fits in with what we have so long been taught. So we come back to struggling with how do we know what success looks like? And one of the reasons we have such a challenge is because we don't have many role models for success, this kind of success. When the disciples were walking around with Jesus, clearly they had the perfect role model. They had the role model of all role models, and that was his job. That's what he was there for, to show them how to be dependent on God. And they knew they were to be there to be taught. So they focused on, okay, they asked him questions, and they observed, and they discussed amongst themselves. But they saw with their own eyes, they experienced by living with him what it took for him to develop that dependence on the Father, to be taught of the Father, and how to minister, how to express love. So by living with Jesus, they were mentored. He was their role model. And then he sent them out and said, you try it. But they came back. Our problem is, though we want to be mentored, we want to have a good role model, they are few and far between for various reasons. We can recognize someone's positive traits or that they have achieved certain goals that are appealing to us. So we reason that if we can do what they do, we can also achieve similar goals or traits. We can be like them. And this is a normal expectation, because Christians should be able to identify role models that exemplify dependence on the Father. Just as the disciples, by living with Jesus, learned of the Father, we should be able to do the same. This is one of the reasons Jesus came in the flesh and dwells among us. And even Paul encouraged his readers to follow him as he followed Christ, to examine his life, to see where he was depending on his God. Unfortunately, in many, if not most cases, Christian role models and leadership positions, and especially public ministry, are either not exemplifying dependence on the Father, or they have isolated themselves from the people in such a way that we really don't know what's going on behind closed doors. How often are we all shocked and surprised when someone we thought was an exemplary Christian has a huge sin exposed in their life? Not that we expect them to be perfect, but they were setting themselves out and hiding. They didn't want anybody to see that they weren't perfect, and they weren't allowing others into their lives. So we will pick it up right here next week at the same time. You can drop me a line at diane@therainersclub.org or through the website at therainersclub.org, the contact form, or through Blog Talk Radio. So again, let the Lord make these concepts real to you. It's a personal concept, but we also will eventually get into talking about goals. because success is very often understandable in terms of goals. So thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great night.